Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing what we had in the Mishnah yesterday with regards to the Etrog. Gemara wants to know, Tara Banan, Pri Eitz Hadar, Eitz Shetam Eitzo Pirio Shaveh. How do we know that Pri Eitz Hadar is referencing the Etrog? Because Pri Eitz Hadar comes to teach us that Pri and Eitz are equated, that the taste of the Eitz of the branches are the same as the Pri, and that is true by the Etrog of Yamar Zetrog. Mar says, Vema Pilpilin, why don't we say that this is peppers? Not peppers the vegetable, but peppers like peppercorns that are made into the pepper, the spice. Kidatanya, we have a brayta that suggests the same thing. Hayah Rabbi Meomer, mi mashma shenemer unitatem kol Eitz. When it says that you plant any tree with regards to Orla, any odeshu eats machal, how am I not going to know that we're talking about a fruit tree? Because later on it says that you can't eat from it. So the only tree that we could be speaking about is a tree that produces fruit. So then why does it say, menotatem ko eats machal, matomalomar eats machal? So why is it telling us that it's a fruit tree? H, shetam etzo pirio shaved. That comes to teach you this same type of concept, that a place where the fruit or the produce of the tree tastes similar to the branch of the tree. Habiomer zepilpilin. That's true of the peppercorns. Lomedcha shapilpilim chayavin beorla. And that comes to teach you that the pilpel is chayav beorla. Ve'ein eretz yisrael chaseira klum. And there's nothing missing in eretz yisrael. Shenemar lo techsar kol ba. There's nothing missing in eretz yisrael. Eretz yisrael has produce or the types of produce that can be found anywhere. Now, Rashi points out over here, why would you even have a havamina to say that the pepper is not on a tree? It grows on a tree. So why wouldn't you say that it's chayav be'orla? So he says, chayav be'orla lo teima min yerechu, because you might suggest that it's a vegetable, b'neishu eitz shafel, because it's a very low down tree, almost like a bush-like tree. And therefore you would suggest that it's not considered a tree. So along comes the limud from the pasuk to teach you that pilpulim are still classified as a tree. Tosafot does not like Rashi's explanation because he says we have plenty of very lower squat trees that have a din of trees and their fruit are considered to be fruit, and that doesn't seem to be the determining factor. So why would you even suggest that that was the havamina of the Gemara over here? Rather, he suggests, based on the Gemara that we saw together in Yoma with regards to these pilpilin, that there are two types of pilpilin. There are pilpilin when they're still moist, and there are pilpilin when they are dried out. And the Gemara discussed the difference that one of them is considered to be edible. When they're dried out, they're not considered to be edible. They become a spice, or they're ground down to be a spice. But when they are moist, they're considered to be edible. So what Tosafot suggests is that the Havamina would have been, since in the end these moist peppercorns are going to end up hardening and drying out, therefore they should not be classified as a fruit, and there should be no din of Orla over here. Kamash Malon, that we don't say that, even though despite the fact that in the end they will be dried out and they will be used for spices. At this point in time, they're moist, and that gives them a din of fruit and gives the tree a din of Orla. Tosafot then asks, wait a minute, why does the Gemara over here say that the chidush of Orla has to do with peppers? We just said before that Etrog also has that same status, which is that the Eitz and the Pri are identical in taste. So why does the Gemara conclude it's talking about pilpilim? It could be talking about tiltan, is another type of vegetation that the Gemara says is about, or the Etrog. So Tosafot says, by the Etrog, there's no safek that it's not a yerek. Of course, it's a fruit, so there's no question about it. On the other hand, tiltan is clearly, fenugreek is clearly a yerek. So it's only these peppercorns that sit in that gray zone, which the Gemara is going to address, and that's why they think that's what the pasuk is speaking about, even though we have other instances or trees, fruits, vegetables that have the same character trait. Nevertheless, what they focus on was pilpilim, because they're the one that has this ability maybe to sit between a fruit and a vegetable. Marseilles, Mishum de lo efshar. How do you know that the Pri Eitz Hadar here is referring to an etrog and not these pilpilin? Because it would be impossible. If you suggested it was these peppercorns, then, Eichin Avid, what are you going to do? Ninkot chadol, you're going to take one peppercorn, lo minkarad kichata. You're not going to know that. They're so small, you're going to be holding in your hand, you won't even know that you took one of the arbataminim. So ninkot trei or tlata. So what are you gonna say? Pick up two or three of these peppercorns and that will give us something significant. The problem is that pri echad, that the Torah says pri eitz hadar. Sounds like that's only one pri. Velo shnayim u'shlosha peirot, and not two or three peirot. Pri eitz hadar in the singular sounds like you only have one and not multiple. Hilgach lo efshar. It's just impossible. It might have been the explanation of the pasuk, but just from a practical standpoint, it cannot be the explanation of this pasuk, and therefore It must be that Tam Itzo Perio Shaver references to the Etrog. Rabbi Omer, Al Tigra Hadar El Adir. That Rabbi says, how do we know that it's talking about an Etrog? Because he interprets the word Adar not to be beautiful, but rather deer like a corral. Ma deer ze yeshbo gdolim uktanim, tmimim ubalim umim. Just like a corral has animals in there, some of them are big, some of them are small, some of them are shlemim tamim, and some pull without any blemish, and some of them are balim umim, they have issues with them. Achanami, so too, yesh bo gdolim uktanim tamim balim umim. The fruit here we're talking about, there's some big ones, there's some small ones, there's some of them that are unblemished, and some of them are blemished. Omar says, Atu shar peyo leibu gdolim uktanim tamim balim umim. Why is this unique to the etrog? All fruits that grow on a tree have this trait, which is that some of them are big, some of them are small, some of them are blemished, some are not. So Gemara says, no, Eli Hachi Kamar. This is what he meant to say. Achibayim Ktanim Adayim Gdolim Kayamim. When the little ones come, the new Etrogim come, the old ones are still on the tree. And that comes to the next statement, which is, Rabbi Bawamar, Al Tigra Hadar, Ela. Don't read that it means Hadar, beautiful, but rather, Ela Hadavar Shadar Bilono Mishana Lashana. But rather from the word Hadar, that lives, which is something that stays on the tree from year to year. And this is a unique character trait of the etrog, which is that it does not spoil on the tree. If you leave it on the tree, it will continue to grow. It'll grow bigger and bigger. And that's why in Eretz Yisrael you can find some of these massive etrogim. And when they stay on the tree, they continue to grow. And then you'll have in the subsequent year, the new etrogim will come out, the small ones. And the ones from the previous year will still be on the tree. And that is a unique property of the etrog that we don't find by other fruit trees. And that's what he means, gdolim u ketanim. And so now Rabbi and Rabbi Abou are saying the same thing, which is, we find the etrog is unique in this property, that it stays around for multiple years. Rabbi expresses it through the word deer. He says the word hadar is from the word deer corral. And Rabbi Abou expresses it from the word hadar, that lives, rather than hadar, which is beautiful. So they both come to the same conclusion. They just see the meaning of the word or the way to learn it from the word hadar as coming from a different perspective. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai has a different interpretation. Al tigra hadar, ela, we have in the Girsa and our Gemara's are idur, but if you look in the Mesorot HaShas, he brings down hadur. Shekein b'lashon yavani, horim lamayim, idur or hadur. That water in Greek is hadur or idur, and it's likely that this word is related to the word hydro, idro or hidur, which is the Greek or Latin word for water. Bezu shegadel akol mayim, what fruit grows on all water? Avyomer ze etrog, that is the etrog, and the etrog needs a ton of water in order to grow. That is a property that's usually associated with vegetables and not with fruits. For instance, things like cucumbers need a ton of water versus fruits and fruit trees that need less watering than vegetables. And that will lead to later on the Masechta, we'll discuss what is the status of an etrog vis-a-vis vegetable or fruit. And it has a mix of properties because of this idea that it has some connection to vegetables and the fact that it grows on kulomayim. And that's unique about the fruit. The etrog is that it grows on kulomayim, and that's not true by other fruits. They don't need that type of watering like the etrog does. So from all these different limudim, we come to the conclusion that the Prietz Adar is referencing the etrog. Whether it's Prietz Adar that Tam Itzo Vupirio Shavin, that's one limud. The other possibility is Adar Bilano Mishana Lashana, or Rabbi's version of that, that it stays on the tree from year to year. Or Ben Azai's version of it, that it's something that grows and needs a ton of water, and that is the etrog. Shele Sheirav Shele Yirneidachat Pasul Mai Taima. What's the problem with the Shira Yirneidachat? Came into the Sreifa Gaik, Dute Mikhtat Shi'ure, since it's supposed to be burnt, because either it's here in Nidachat or it's in Ashera, like we've seen earlier by the other Minim. Therefore, Dute Mikhtat Shi'ure, it's as if it doesn't exist. And since it doesn't exist, there's a minimum Shi'ur for the Etrog, which we saw in the Mishnah. That minimum Shi'ur, truthfully, is not about a Shi'ur in the sense of Gezayit, like in other places, but just to ensure that it is mature. But nevertheless, there is some sort of minimum shiur here, and kedute mikdat shirei is as if it doesn't exist. Now the Gemara says, orla pasul. That of orla is pasul. Gemara says, my time. What's the reason that shalala is problematic? Pligi ba Rabbi Chia baravin, or in other Gemaras it's just plain Rabbi Chia, v'Rabbi Yasi. Chadamar lefi shein ba heter achila. It's not possible to eat it. You're precluded from eating it. It's asur ba achila. Chadamar lefi shein ba din mamon. It has no value. As Rashi says, it's worth less than a pruta because orla, as we mentioned, the Mishnah is isur hana'a. It's not only an isur achila, but it's also an isur hana'a. So is the problem here that you can't eat it? Or is the problem here that you can't get any benefit from it? It's valueless to you over here. Kasaka datche. We assume here, in the beginning, that this machloket is absolute. which is mandabai heter achila lo bai din mamon. The one who says that it all has to do whether it's edible or not doesn't care about whether it has any underlying value. For instance, the case of Maisu Sheni is a case where you have heter achila without mamon. Man bai din mamon lo bai de heter achila. And the one who says that it's valuable, as long as it's valuable, it doesn't matter if it has a heter achila. For instance, tevel, which is also ba achila, but is mutar ba ana. None. The problem is the subsequent piece of our Mishnah, which is shel truma tmeya, is pasul. That of truma tmeya cannot be used for an etrog. Truma tmeya may not be eaten. It also is asur ba'ana, except for the fact that the kohen is allowed to burn it for his own benefit, to use for light or to cook on. So bishlam alaman damar lefi shein baheta achila shapir. I understand why the truma tmeya is asur, because truma tmeya is not mutar ba'achila. So that's why it's precluded from being used as an etrog. Alaman damar shein ba'din mamon, according to the one who says it's valueless, am I? It's not valueless over here. Are you masiga tachatav shilo? Can cook on it, and you can use it for light. So there is value to it. Then what we have to conclude is that everybody agrees that it has to be edible in order to be used as an etrog. If it's not edible, if there's any iser achila, everybody agrees that that's out, and you can't use it for an etrog. They have a secondary machlok. It is, once we know that it's asur b'achila, what is the din with regards to value? Does it have to have value, or does it not have to have value? So, din mamon, din mamon, it's sufficient that it's mutar b'achila. In terms of having value, we don't care about that. For example, we'll see in a second about an example of that is maiser shini. Din mamon nami binun. And the other one says, no, that you need not only heter achila, but you also have value or intrinsic value to you. So my benayu, what's the nafkamina between these two reasons? Benayu, maiser sheni should be Yerushalayim alibid Rabbi Meir. Maiser sheni in Yerushalayim, once you bring your maiser sheni up to Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat it. But according to Rabbi Meir, it remains mamon gvoa. It belongs to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So even though you have permission to eat it, it's not yours, and the value does not belong to you. For instance, if you tried to be Mekadesh and Isha with it, it would not work because it doesn't have value. You're not the owner of the item. Hashem is the owner of the item. But you have a heter achila. You have a dispensation to eat it inside of Yerushalayim, Mishulchan Gavoa Kazochi. You're eating from the Shulchan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, that'll be a nafkamina between them. There is a heter achila here, but it's valueless. So according to Mandama, who says that it is heter achila is all that matters, Maisu Sheni Yerushalayim will be fine. According to one who says it has to both be heter achila and valuable, then Maisu Sheni Yerushalayim will be problematic. Now, before, where we had the suggestion that it could be either or, then we would have suggested, for instance, the case of Tevel, which is also b'achila, but is mutar b'ana. But once we've concluded that heter achila is essential, then everybody agrees that these items are precluded because there's no heter achila by these items. The only question is now, how much ownership do you need in order to be matirit? And that's what the Gemara says. The nafkamina between them is this: Maisu Sheni b'Yerushalayim alibol the divrei Rabbi Meir, because the man the Marv Sheni by etar achila, the one who says no etar fiar is by etar achila for the Maisu Sheni. The man the Marv Sheni by din mamon, Maisu Sheni mamon gavoa. That is mamon gavoa according to Rabbi Meir. Tistayim the Rabbi Asi damar the fishen by din mamon. Let us conclude that of these opinions here, we know one is Rabbi Asi and one is Rabbi Chia. Let us assume that Rabbi Asi is of the opinion, l'fishein ba'din mamon, that it has to have value as well. Dama Rabbi Asi etrog shel maiser sheni ledivrei Rabbi Meir, and etrog of maiser sheni, according to Rabbi Meir, en adam yotzei bo yidei chavato b'yom tov. You're not able to use it for yom tov because it's lacking value. Ledivrei chachamim, adam yotzei bo yidei chavato b'yom tov tistayim. But with regards to the chachamim, it would work because the chachamim believe that it's mamon ba'alim. The maiser sheni belongs to the ba'alim, and therefore when you're in Yerushalayim, you have heter achila and heter mamon. And there, Rabbi Asi would agree that it is mutar to be used as an etrog for Sukkot. Tosfot over here asks a very serious question. He says that the reason we can't utilize the etrog according to these opinions is because the pasuk says v'lakachtem lachem b'yom harishon. It says lachem, it must be yours. So lachem is either ra'oy l'achila, it's yours, so you're able to eat it. That means that any way you want to benefit from it or enjoy it, you can. The fact that you're precluded from achila means it's not really yours. And then Tosfot says, well, if that's the case, then why don't we say by Ashira and Ira Nidachat the same thing? By Ashira and Ira Nidachat, you're also precluded from getting Hana'ah from them because they are Isurei Hana'ah. And even according to the one here who says that you only need Isur Achila, they will agree by the case of Lulav, where there is no Achila, the only thing that is there is value, then the Lachem will be determined by Mamon. And now you have objects that are valueless. So why doesn't the Gemara, instead of saying Dute Michta Shurei by these items, Why doesn't the Gemara say that the problem here is it's not lachem, it's not yours to benefit the way that you would like? Tosfot answers, because lachaktam lachem b'yom rishon is only a psul on yom rishon. Whereas ketute miftat shurei is actually a psul that would last for all 7 days. She says that's why the Gemara uses ketute miftat shurei, because that has a broader application. But then he says, wait a minute, why by orla over here do we say that the problem is acheter achila, heter mamon? Why don't we just say that orla is isur hana, and there's a requirement that it be burnt? So why don't we just say ketute miftat shurei by orla? Forget about it, taking this issue to the ashira and the iranidacha, let's do it the other way around. Let's say ketute miftat shurei will apply to orla. And that will be even better, because then it will apply all 7 days instead of just the first day. So why doesn't the Gemara use that as the term? And he answers in the end an amazing thing. He says, Enochanami, that the truth is that Orla is a sur because it's Ketute Michta Shurei. So then why didn't the Gemara bring that reason? It's because of the Nafkamina that comes out in the end about Maisur Sheni. The argument within Orla leads us to understanding that there is this Machalogia with regards to Maisur Sheni. And that's a derivative of this understanding. But in Achanami, with regards to Orla, it's a sur all 7 days, and that's because of Ketute Michtat Shi'urei. Other Rishonim, like the Balamor and the Ravid, believe that the truth is that Orla is only a sur on the first day because of Lachem, and for the remaining days it is mutar to use it, because there's no problem of Lachem after that. What about the issue of Ketute Michtat Shi'urei that Tosfot raises? That might have to do with what Tosfot says over here. Tosfot suggests over here that the din of burning Orla is a din de Oraita. Now, it's a din d'oraita because it's compared to Kilay Karen, which says, that you have to burn it. So based on that, he says it might be a mitzvah d'oraita to burn it. But if you believe that the burning of Orla is not a din d'oraita, but only a din d'rabbonon, then you may not say that it's ketute michtat shurei. Even though it's asur ba'anah. And asur ba'anah should be enough to say ketute michtat shurei. There might be a difference between usurei hana'ah and ketute michtat shurei, where you must burn it. Usurei hana'ah, even though they have no value, might still have structure and shurim to them, as ketute michtat shurei, when you have to burn it, is totally eliminated, and it's ketute michtat shurei. But there are other rishonim that think that the fact that it has no value means that it's asur b'hana'ah, and it's the equivalent of usurei hana'ah that need to be burnt. And again, the only reason that it's brought over here is because of the nafgamina that comes out in Maisur Sheni. There are other types of answers and Rishonim speak about here, but a lot of them come to the same conclusion that Tosafot comes to, which is in the end, they really need the difference in their opinions with regards to Maisur Sheni, and then Orla is only a springboard to get there. So Gufa, Amar Abasi, Etrog Shil Maisur Sheni, the Divrei Rabbi Meir, Ein Adam Yotzei Yidvei Chavotol B'Yom Tov. An etrog of Maisur Sheni, according to Rabbi Meir, who thinks that it's mamon gvoa even in Yerushalayim, you can't utilize it on Yom Tov. The Divrei Chachamim, Adam Yotzei Bo Yedei Chavato B'Yom Tov. According to the Chachamim, who think it's mamon balim, it belongs to the balim, you can utilize it on Yom Tov. This is Rabbi Asi L'Shitato, who says, with regards to etrog, that you need not only heter achila, but you also need heter mamon, or you have to have value here, ownership, in order for it to be good for utilization for the Arba Minim. As Tosafot points out, that this could be true, according to everyone, the Kulei Alma in the Gvulin. According to both the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir, the Gvulin, Maisur Sheni is Mamon Gvoa, and has no Heter Achila, and therefore, everybody would agree there that it cannot be used as an Etrog and Yom Tov. Matzah Shul Maisur Sheni. If you make matzah from Maisur Sheni in Yerushalayim, the Divrei Rabbi Meir in Adam Yotzei Dechevato bePesach. According to Rabbi Meir, you can't use that for matzah on Pesach. The Divrei Chachamim Adam Yotzei BaYedeChevato bePesach. According to the Chachamim, who say it is mamon balim, you're allowed to utilize it on Pesach. The Gemara will discuss in a second where is this requirement that the matzah be your matzah. Isah Shel Maisur Sheni, dough that was made out of Maisur Sheni in Yerushalayim. The Divrei Rabbi Meir Ptura Min HaChala. According to Rabbi Meir, it is patur from chala, because the chala has to be yours in order to be chayav in chala, to have to give the truma, the chala, to the kohen, it has to be your isa. But in Yerushalayim, according to Rabbi Meir, you may eat it, but it is not your chala, it belongs to mamon gvoa. Dibir chachamim, who thinks it's mamon balim in Yerushalayim, then you're chayav b'chala. Matkif la rapapa, bishlama isa. I understand why isa, the requirement is it be yours, because it says, reshit ariso techem. Because it said it must be arisa shelachem. It has to be your arisa. Etrog nami k'tiv lachem mishalachem. By etrog it says lakachtam lachem, and lachem means it must be yours. The matzah miktiv matzatchem. Where do you ever find that matzah is a requirement that be your matzah? Amar Rav Bashmo v'yitem Rav Yemer b'shamayo atya lechem lechem tivacha lechem oni. It says over here that lechem oni uktiv hatam, and it says over there by chala v'ya b'chalchem lechem haaretz. Malahalan mishalachem, velo mishal ma'aser, just like over there, by arisotechem, by chala, it has to be yours in order to be chayav and not that of ma'aser sheni. So too, over here, the lechem that is mentioned by Pesach, by the matzah, has to be yours and not shel ma'aser sheni. So there is a hekesh which plays out in different ways, but this lechem, which connects between chala and matzah, that teaches us just like by chala, there's a requirement to be yours, so too by matzah, there's a requirement that it be yours. Tosafot asks an interesting question over here. He says that the Gemara in Psachim says that the reason you can't use matzah of tevel is because it has to be something that's only asur mishum bal tochal chametz, and not asur because of bal tochal tevel. And so because of that, you can't use tevel for matzah. Tosafot says, why don't you have a much easier answer? Tevel is not yours. And then there's a requirement of lachem by matzah now. So why can't you preclude using tevel matzah because of lachem? Tosafot says that's not really true by tevel. By tevel, it isn't totally yours, but it is partially yours. Tevel is a mixture of that which belongs to the Kohen, that which belongs to the Levi, and Ma'aser Sheni. But it's also a part of that Kohen that's yours. And it's as if you are shutafim badavar. And since you're shutafim davar, that might qualify to be lachem, that it's enough yours to utilize it for matzah. Just like we find by the arisa, that if you have multiple owners or partners in an isa, we say that they all are chayav in chala. We don't say they're p'turim in chala. So it's so over here, just because you have partnership in the tevel, that doesn't make you patur, or doesn't preclude you from using it for matzah. Now, even though here, by etrog, it says, v'lakachtam lachem by yom rishon, over here it has to be yours, and fully yours. And Tosafot says that'll be the same thing by isa shel tevel, that will be chayav in chala, because you have a partnership in there. And the Gemara, actually, in the Yushalmi, has a statement that you can take off truma and chala all at the same time after you make the isa, which means that you're using tevel and you're making it isa, and that's not a reason to believe that you're patur mi chala. But then one would have to ask, why by an etrog of shutfin is it problematic? If over here where you have the requirement of lachem by matzah and by chala, we say that shutfim are okay, why don't we say the same thing with regards to an etrog? Why is an etrog shel shutafim not meet the requirement of lachem and then cannot be utilized on the first day of Yom Tov? So the Ritva actually answers over here that the difference between achala and an etrog is that by achala it says arisotechem, which is arisot shel lachem, which is in the plural form, whereas over here it says vakachon lachem in the singular form. And therefore, by risotechem, shutafim are okay, whereas over here, by etrog, it has to be lachem, solely your ownership. And that'll be the difference between them in terms of the din of how much ownership you need here. Etrog needs complete ownership. Arisan matzah just need, you have to have a partial ownership or a partnership in that. And that's why Tosafot says, tevel by both chala and by matzah would have been fine, except for we have another preclusion by matzah to say that it doesn't work, and by chala it actually works, to the point that you have to be mafrish chala and truma if you didn't take them off beforehand. So Gemara says, lema misayile. Let us say that we have a braita that supports this position of Rav Asi. Isa shomaiso sheni p'tura min achala. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Chachamim rim chayevei b'chala. So it has this exact distinction between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim with regards to Isa. Where it says, lema mesayale, hee. What do you mean, help him? This is exactly what he is saying. He's saying exactly this. This is the difference between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim with regards to chala. Where it says, no, ela, midaha plige, baha nami plige. The Gemara says, everybody agrees by Risa that there is such a machloket. The question is, can you extrapolate that to etrog and possibly matzah? Or do we say, odilma, shiny isa, damakra, arisotechem, arisotechem, trey zimne? Because by the isa, it says arisotechem twice, maybe there is an additional requirement of ownership over here, and that's why ma'aser sheni is precluded. But by etrog and by matzah, we would not extend it in that way. Tosafot points out that the words arisotechem are already taken up for other drashot, and this is just a dichui of the Gemara to push it away to say it's not exactly a proof. But in truth, it is really a proof to his position in terms of arisotechem, because we don't darshin the two arisotechem because they're not available, and therefore we would extrapolate it from there to etrog as well as to matzah. The Gemara now continues, Trumat Me'ah. What's the problem with Trumat Me'ah? Why can't you utilize that for a netrog? To let by Heter Achila, as we stated before, everybody agrees if you can't eat it, you can't utilize it. Some of the Achronim discuss why that is, based on the Gemara that says that only things that are mutar, the Israel, can be brought in Mizbeach. So too over here, we spoke about before the idea that Lulav Netrog are used in supplication before Hashem. If you're presenting something to Hashem, it has to be something that's mutar, the Israel. Or the other possibility is it's the lack in Hadar, the fact that you can't eat it might make it not hadar, or even more so, the fact that you can't eat it makes it not a fruit. and you need a pre-Eitz Hadar, and that takes away the aspect of fruit, because a fruit can be eaten. And so therefore it's no longer defined as a pre-Eitz Hadar if you can't eat it. Now the Gemara says, V'shel Trumat Torah lo yitol. By Trumat Torah you shouldn't take it, but if you do take it, you are Yotzei. Pligi ba Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi. Chanamar Abinashim Machshira. The problem here is that you're Machshir at the Gabel Tuma, you prime it to accept Tuma. Because you cause a loss here. My benayu. What is the difference between them? That if he makes it into truma, excluding the outer layer, the outer skin, that's not just the thin skin on the outside, it has to be the thicker part out there that's edible, because otherwise it wouldn't be truma at all. He leaves that over. So in that case, the mandamari pinesha machshira ego. If you're going to be machshir the kabel tuma, you're still going to be machshir the kabel tuma. The one who says that it's because he's going to cause a loss, there's no loss here because the outer shell is still chulin. And when you touch it and you rub it, it won't make a difference. Now, what is the problem here? In terms of mafsida, the handling of the etrog makes it go brown and wears down the skin. So therefore, that is the problem of mafsida. If you leave the outer skin there, then you're going to have a buffer between you and the truma. And that won't be a problem because you're not mafsid the truma. The truma is inside. The skin's on the outside, you're not being mafsidit, and therefore you could use the Trumat Torah without any problem. Rashi says the problem of Machshira is that when later on in the Masechta we're going to see that the woman's allowed to take from her husband when he comes back home the lulav and etrog, and he places the lulav in the water so it won't dry out over Shabbat when they're not going to utilize it. So there we put the lulav into the water, and it's likely that when you take the lulav out again, it's still going to be wet, and when it touches the pri, when it touches the etrog, it's going to be Machshirit the Mekabel Tumah. And Rashi says that's a violation et mishmeret trumotai, that you have to protect truma from becoming tumeah. What's very interesting about Rashi is Rashi extends that not only to tuma itself, but even to heksher the kabel tuma, priming it. So now it's able to be mekabel tuma is also problematic according to Rashi. That's a chiddush or an extension of this idea that you have to protect an object from becoming tumeah. It may be that you should only not make it tumeah. But if you're makshirit, why should that be a problem? It's still tahor. So Rashi over here says that's what the Gemara is suggesting over here, that even being makshir the kabel tuma is a problem in terms of a violation of mishmeret trumotai according to this. And that's why it fails in terms of your ability to use it for a netrog, because you're going to ruin the truma. Now, b'diavad, if you use it, it works. It's just we don't want you to do this because you're leading it down a path where it's going to become tameh. That's Rashi's interpretation. The Meiri argues on Rashi, and Meiri says that the case here is not when he's taking it out afterwards, but actually when they put it in. When you put in the lulav into the water and the etrog is there, your daim areshniot the tuma automatically. Stam your daim areshniot the tuma. If the etrog is by the water when you put in the lulav and it's going to get wet and your hands are going to touch it and going to make it tamei. That's only if it's truma. If it's chulin, it doesn't get affected because there's no tuma in chulin that goes from sheni to the shlishi. Shlishi only exists in truma. So the problem here is you're actually going to make it tamei according to the Meiri. Not like Rashi, it says that you're going to be makshirit the mekabel tuma, prime it. Rather, you're going to makshir it and it's going to become tamei because of your daim. So it's clear that the Meiri disagrees with Rashi and says that the only problem with Mishmer Trumatai is to actually make the Trumat Tameah. To be Machshirit is not an issue. That's not a violation of Mishmer Trumatai. So why we don't want you to use the Etrog when it's Truma is because we're afraid you're actually going to make it Tameh and then you're going to ruin the Truma. So according to both opinions, the problem here is the loss of this Truma, either because physically you're going to handle it and it's going to ruin it, or because of the Tuma that's associated with it. Rashi says it's the Heksher of the Gabu Tuma. The Meiri says actually making it tamei. So both of those reasons we say, latchila, you shouldn't use it. B'diavad, you can use it because it's not a problem in the cheftza to be used for etrog. It's just something that we don't want you to do it because of the losses that can be caused to truma. Again, the nafkamina between the two reasons we saw over here was when you left the outer shell as not being truma. Over there, the handling of it won't affect the truma because it's internal. But in terms of actually the kabel tuma, once you're makshir the entire object, you make the object tamei, it affects the entire object and therefore it will still be problematic. According to the one who says that if it doesn't have heter achila, it's problematic, then here Trumat Torah can be eaten. The one who says that it doesn't have a monetary value, it has monetary value, Trumat Torah. You can be nene from it, the Kohen can eat it, so it does have a din of achila. When it comes to the mai, my time at the Beit Hillel, what's the reason behind Beit Hillel that you can utilize it? Since he can disown all of his possessions, and then become a poor person, and then he could utilize it, he could eat it. So therefore it has a din of lachem. Since you can foster a case in which it would be able to be used by you, it's as if it is yours now, even though technically in the state that you're in right now, you can't utilize it. That's not, we have a Mishnah. You can give demai. Demai is produce from an Amah Aretz, which we have a suspicion as to whether they took off Trumot Masrot. Gemara says, by Trumah Gdolah, they definitely taken off. By Masrot, Rashi says a number of places that it's a Safek, and it's a Chumra Ba'alma de Rabbanan, because the majority of them do it. So it's only a Miut, and Rechoshesh for the Miut over here, the Chumra, because of the Trumot Masrot. So therefore, in cases where you're doing something that is beneficial, or the beneficiary is someone who it's not his own produce, over there, the Chachamim waive the Chumra, so there won't be like a double taxation over here. So if you give it to the Aniim, or the Achsanya, which is the troops that are staying by you, other Rishonim say that the Achsanya over here doesn't mean the troops, but rather guests, people who are on the road, who do not have their possessions with them, and therefore they're deemed to be a poor person. That's who their Achsanya is. Beit Hillel says you're allowed to give them Demai. Since you can give them Demai, there is an ability for a person to gain ownership over the Demai. Beit Shammai Ani lo achil Demai. Beit Shammai says an Ani may not eat Demai, detan. Machilin et anim demai, vet achsanya demai. From Ravuna, Tana Beit Shammai. Ravuna comes and tells us that Beit Shammai omrim ein machilim et anim vet achsanya demai. Beit Shammai says that's not the case. Ubeit Hillel omrim machilim et anim demai vet achsanya demai. So that's a machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. What Ravuna adds for us, Tosfot asks, mean, okay, so Beit Shammai says no, we're going to pass on like Beit Hillel anyway. So tell us, if you find someone who has the opinion that you can't give it to an achsanai or achsanya or to anim, that's the position of Beit Shammai, you can ignore it. Who this Achsanya is, if you say it's troops, and the Aniim here is a question in the Yerushalmi, brought in Tosafot a number of places. One opinion in the Yerushalmi that the Aniim here are Aniyei Chaverim. These are Aniim who know how to handle Trumot Masrot. And Achsanya here are Jewish troops. There is another opinion there in the Gemara that the Aniim here are referring to Aniyei Amei Aretz, and the Achsanya is referring to non-Jewish troops. It's less machloket in the Yerushalmi as to what we're saying here, what you can use this for, or utilize this demai for, which type of aniim, and again, what type of troops you're allowed to utilize it for. Tosafot asks a very basic question over here. He says, look before, by Trumat Torah, we did not require him to actually be able to eat it. We said as long as the Kohen can eat it, he can utilize it. Over here, by demai, why are we insisting that he be able to eat the demai in order to utilize it? If the ani can eat it, that should be enough to allow him to utilize it, just like by the Kohen and Trumah. Tosafot says, Ein Ochanami, you're right. He doesn't really have to eat it. This is only because this Gemara appears in a number of places. It appears by Matzah. It appears by Eruvin. And by Eruvin, it does make a difference, because there, by Eruvin, it's not enough that the Kohen can eat it. You yourself must be able to eat it according to Sumchus over there. And this is a remnant of that Gemara, which has to have you eat it personally. But technically, in our Gemara, you wouldn't have to eat it personally. There are others that say just the opposite, that you do have to be able to get benefit from it personally. And that's why by Demai, they demand the ability of you to become an Ani in order to utilize it. What about by Trumat Torah? If you look carefully in Rashi, Rashi says that it's a case where V'yachol achila leben bito kohen. It's a case where he can feed it to his grandson who is a kohen. The grandson who's eating on his table, he can give him the Trumat. So it can be something that he utilizes in a meal that he's a part of. So he may not personally be able to eat it, but someone who's relying on him for their food could eat it, part of his family, and that's why it's okay. But they're in both directions. Some say that it's not necessary. If someone else can eat it, that's enough. Others say, no, you have to have some hana from it, or ability to eat it, and therefore, by truma, it has to be the fact that your grandson could eat it, and by demai, it's the fact that you can make yourself into an ani. Shomaser sheni b'Yerushalayim, l'mandam arpinesh makshira, arei makshira. Maser sheni Yerushalayim has the same problem as why lechatchila we don't want you to utilize it, just like Truma Tehora. So again, Truma Tehora b'diavad it works, and Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim also b'diavad, according to the Chachamim, it works. The problem here is that you're makshira the gabel Tuma. The Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim mafsida, arei mafsida, according to the one that says that you're going to cause a loss of the Maaser Sheni, that's the problem here. Some of the reasons that we spoke about before by Truma Tehora would not apply here, including the fact that the Yadayim are Sheni, the Tuma, that has less application over here by Maaser Sheni, because Maaser Sheni is like Chulin. It does not have a shlishi the tuma. Vimnatal kshera. If he takes it, it works. The mother of Ibn by etar achila, divrei akol. According to the one who says that as long as there's a etar achila, that's okay. That means both according to Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim in Yerushalayim, there's a etar achila and you can utilize it. The mother of Ibn by din mamon, who says the problem is by Maaser Sheni is that it doesn't have value to you because it's mamon gavoa. Then hamani rabbonani. That's the rabbonan in Yerushalayim who think that it's mamon balim in Yerushalayim and not mamon gavoa. According to Rabbi Meir, you wouldn't be able to utilize the Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim because it's not your mamon. Alta chazazit. If it gets these bumps or dots, spots on it, Amar Rav Chista, Davar Zeh, Rabbeinu Agadol Amro, Amakom Yeh Birzro, This item, Rabbeinu HaGadol's Rav, as Rashi translated before, Amro, he said it, Amakomi Yeriyazor, Kosh Baruch Hu should bless him or take care of him. That's only true if it's in one place. If it's spread out in a number of places, then it's fine. Amr Rava, Rava said, wait a minute, and we had the same Gemara on Daf Lamed Gimel, the exact same way the Gemara plays out, which is Adraba. It's in two or three different places, it's like spotted. It doesn't look right. It's not hadar. Upasul, and it should be pasul. El itmar, asefa itmar. It should be on the latter half of the Mishnah. Amutoka share. If there's only in a portion of it, it has this chazazit. Amar avchista, darazer, rabbeinu agadol, amro, vamakom yebizro, lo shnala bamakom echad. It's only kasher when it's in one location. Aval bishnaim ishlosha mekamot, if it's spread out all the place, avalekim minumar upasul. It's like it's a spotted etrog, and it doesn't look right, and it's not hadar, and you can't utilize it. On the nose, then it's pasul according to everybody. What the chotamo is a subject of machloket rishonim over here. Rashi says chotamo is from where the etrog begins to slope inward. The Rosh, when he talks on Rashi's opinion, he says it's not the whole slope according to Rashi, but rather the location where it begins to slope in, because that's the most visible part of the etrog. That's where a person's eye is caught. And therefore, if it's over there, it's problematic. On the other hand, the Rif and the Ran believe that Chotamo is the entirety of the slope going up from the point where it starts to steepen towards the top, towards what we call the Pitum. That is the part that if you have something on there, a problem, a Chazazit on there, that would make it Pasul. On the other hand, the Rambam and the Ran brings a second Deyo there, that it's actually talking about where the Pitum sits. The area where the Pitum sits on top of it, there's actually a steeper bump that comes up that holds the pitum up. That's the slope that they're speaking about here. It's a very small area at the top. Aloha, we are choshesh for the shitot that say it's the entire slope, and so therefore the entire upper sloping part of the etrog we tried to have to be clean of chazazit, of any bumps, blemishes, black spots, anything like that. We try to make sure that's clean in that area because that is the most important area, as Rashi says, because that's the part that's visible and that's where hadar will apply. Natal pitum to. If the pitum is taken out, then it's problematic. Tan Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar natal buchnato. That's if the buchen is taken out. We've seen the buchna in other places, like the pestle and the mortar. That is when you have something that's a stick and it has a ball on the top of it. This statement over here is very controversial and it happens to be a machloket rishonim. Rashi actually brings from his own rebbeim two different interpretations. He says, what is the pitum? In the Mishnah, he said pitum to is not the part where the etrog is attached to the tree, but rather the other side where it flowers. That is the pitum. That is the explanation that he favors, and he favors it over here as well. When he says over here, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar says, buchnato, that's what the pitum looks like. It looks like a buchen, because it's narrow, and then it gets a bowl on the top. And that's what's referring to the pitum over here. That he quotes in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yaakov, and he favors that interpretation. But then he brings a second interpretation from Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi, who says that the buchna is not referencing the pitum, but rather the oketz, and that the oketz is made up of two parts to it. There's the oketz, which is where it's attached to the tree, the stem where it's attached to the tree, and then that oketz actually descends into the fruit itself. It actually burrows into the fruit and is inside. And the buchen is that part where it's all the way inside. And that is that if the oketz is missing, then it's kasher, which is the part that's outside of the fruit, not inside or depressed into the fruit. But the pitum, or the buchna, which is synonymous here, is when you take it out. When you pull that stem that's attached to the fruit, you pull it all the way out, and there's actually a hole inside of it. And that's when it is pasul. And that's the explanation of Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi. Rashi rejects it because, yes, we never find that an oketz is called a pitum. A pitum is always the flowering side of the fruit, not the side or the stem where it's attached to the tree. The Rabbeinu Tam takes issue with Rashi's explanation, and he says that we do find that the bochan is called the pitom, and he says that from the other Gemarot, it makes it sound like the pitom and the bochna are all found in the same location. And so therefore they explain it, like the Rebbe of Rashi, that that's the case. The Oroch actually has an interesting interpretation, which he says that the pitom refers to what Rashi calls the pitom, and the bochna refers to what the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi's Rebbe, who he rejected, Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi, who says that it's talking about the oketz, the part that goes into the etrog. And he says then that this statement of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar, natla buchnato, is not coming to define what a pitum is, but rather to be marchiv, to say not only is the pitum a problem, but even the buchna, the oketz that's kasher, but the buchna that goes into the fruit, that is problematic. And that's the way we pass in the halacha, that is if the pitum is missing, it's pasul. As well as the fact that if the buchna is taken out and there's a hole that's left inside of it, that that's also problematic. And now the Gemara continues, Niklaf, if it's peeled off, Amarava, hi etroga de iglid, gahina sumka kshera. This etrog that is peeled off like a red date is kasher. Vanantana niklaf pasul. Doesn't our mission say if it's peeled off that it's pasul? Lokasha abiguva abimikzoto. That depends if it's peeled off entirely or partially. Rashi says, bekula, if it's entirely peeled, then it's kasher because it's all one color. And when we're here talking about the peel, we're not talking like we did before the thick part. This is a very thin layer on the top. And some even suggest that it still has to have the same color as the skin. You didn't go so deep as to be past the skin. But habikula, according to Rashi, is kasher. Bimiksata is pasul because the menumarhu, because it's spotted, and therefore it is not hadar. Tosafot quotes from the Beinu Hananel over here, who says just the opposite of Rashi, who says bikula, it's pasul, and by miksata, it's kasher. And he says that because, based in treifot. In treifot, if all the skin is missing from the animal, it's a treifa. If there's any part of the skin that's left, then it's not considered to be a treifa because it's bari and it can grow back. And so based on that, he says the same thing here. When it's all missing, then it's problematic. When there's only some of it missing, then it's still good. There are those that want to argue over here, some of the achronim, that it's only when it's in one location, not when it's in multiple locations, because then it really would be spotted and problematic. Okay, we're going to stop over here.